Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we welcome you back. We are going to be wrapping up our series in the book of James today. So we'll be in James chapter 5, starting with verse 7. Just as we've gone through this, the dominant theme throughout the book of James is this idea of maturity. James writes to primarily a Jewish population, and after the church is born, after the day of Pentecost, Jews and Gentiles get saved. But James is primarily writing to a Jewish population throughout the 12 tribes of Israel that have been scattered due to persecution that we see happen in Acts chapter 8. And as James is writing to these believers, he deals with the issues of trials and temptations, how we mature through them. He talks about listening, not only hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. He talks about favoritism and how that mature believers treat each person equally. He talked about faith and deeds that are, we can have faith, but if we don't have deeds that accompany and that are evident of our faith, then our faith is dead. And he talks about taming the tongue, how it is one of the most difficult things on this earth to tame or to control. It's control our tongue. He talked about submitting our lives to God and to submitting our lives to each other. And then last week we talked about boasting about tomorrow and then just how to handle riches. And he seems to be talking to Christian businessmen, whether they're Christian or not, maybe borderline Christian. But he deals with businessmen that were making all these plans of how they're going to make money and they're going to do this and that. And James just really points out the evil of boasting about things that we can't control, and even more so about hoarding money instead of investing in the kingdom of God, and about being unfair to those that work for us, that we should treat those that work for us, treat them fairly, and look after them. So that was last week. Again, just principles of maturity. So this morning I've titled the message, Final Marks of Maturity. We're going to begin in verse 7 and through verse 11, and we'll get into our first point here. James says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near." Second time he says that. "Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and full of mercy." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And we just pray that you would take your word this morning and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And we ask it in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. James begins this section by talking about patience in the midst of suffering or in hardship. If you have like the King James Version, instead of perseverance, it has probably long suffering, a very literal translation of perseverance. But patience in the midst of suffering. And it appears that James is maybe talking to those that have been affected by these rich businessmen that are mentioned just previously. And it is possible that they are grumbling, they're complaining, over how unfair it was to be mistreated by those that were wealthy and rich and were misusing their power and control. And so they were upset. And so what does James say? Go out and retaliate. Get even. Is that what he tells them? No, he tells them the Lord's coming is near. Be patient. And the idea behind the Lord's coming is near is the idea that when Christ comes again, it will not to be to bring salvation, but it will to be to judge the earth. And James says the judge is at the door. James says, be patient, because the Lord is coming soon, and he's going to settle accounts. He's going to make sure that justice is served. And we desire justice here on this earth, do we not? Yeah. We all want to be treated fairly. We all want justice to be done. And sometimes justice is done in our society, in our world. And some countries, justice is hard to find. In America, there is justice at times, and at times there is not. And sometimes people think they get away with crimes and lies and wrongdoing. See, there's one day that Christ is going to return, and the judge is going to settle accounts. And he's going to give each person, whether good or bad, what is due them. The accounts will be settled. And James says, you know what? You've been mistreated. I hear that. I see that. But don't grumble. Don't complain. Don't try to even the score. Instead, be patient in the midst of trial. Now, he gives three illustrations to illustrate his point. He talks about the farmer that is at the mercy of the elements. They place high-dollar seed in the ground, $300-$400 a bag for corn seed. And they place it in the ground. And it is subject to the elements, to too much rain, not enough rain, to too much heat or not enough heat, to storms, hail, wind. There's a lot of risk involved. But the farmer, if he is patient, usually he reaps a crop. He usually gets his reward. Likewise, the prophets. Listen, prophets, for me. Yeah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. You know, it's funny you mentioned Jeremiah. What was his nickname? Yeah, the weeping prophet. Why did he get that nickname? Because he was faithful for God, right? But he didn't see a lot of results from his faithfulness. He obeyed God. He spoke the word of God to his people, but they refused to listen. And in fact, they abused him for speaking the word of God. He was one time thrown into a pit, into a cistern, and left there. They'd throw food down to him, and in the muck and the mire, and unable to get out, left there for days. One time they put him in stocks, a penalty reserved usually for people that couldn't pay their bills back in those days. He was abused. He was treated unfairly, like many of the prophets, not for doing wrong, but for proclaiming the word of God and speaking God's words to the people of Israel. These prophets persevered, knowing that one day, ultimately, God would bring justice in the end. And then there's Job. Job was a wealthy man, and he was wealthy because God had blessed him, and he was a generous man. People liked Job because he was kind, he was loving. He helped out when he saw a need. But one day Satan came before God and says, yeah, you know, Job, he loves you and he serves you, but he does it because you bless him. You take away your blessing and all the provision that he has, and he'll curse you. He'll curse you and reject you. And God says, okay, you can test Job. Anything is fair game, but you can't touch his life. So Satan buffeted Job. He lost his livestock, he lost his crops, home, lost his children. A lot of things that, a lot of the material things that he had, they were all gone. And he had friends that said, you know, Job, why don't you just confess your sin so that God can start blessing you again? Job says, you know, I'm not claiming to be a perfect man, but I've tried to live my life before God. I'm not sure in which way that I have sinned and done evil in his sight. And ultimately, God shows up and he sets everybody straight. He sets his friends straight that had falsely accused Job. He even sets Job straight a little bit. Job could have cursed God and died, but that's what his wife told him to do. But he remained faithful to God, even in the midst of his suffering. And in the end, God restored to Job not just the things he had lost, but twice as much. Children, livestock, crops, and material things. Because Job persevered to the end. The world will not always be just. Life is not fair, especially to believers. Just think of the injustice that is taking place at the hands of ISIS over in the Middle East. That is not fair. There are Christians that are being affected by that. Think of the injustice that is happening in Houston, Texas, where a liberal mayor is trying to censor minister's sermons there. Talk about a violation of First Amendment rights. And as believers, we can grumble, we can complain, or we can try to take matter into our own hands. But the instruction of James is that we are to wait patiently until the Lord's return, knowing that God will bring justice in the end. And so the first principle that is found in your program is that mature Christians are patient in the midst of suffering. Mature Christians are patient in the midst of suffering. Secondly, James says, above all, my brothers, do not swear by heaven. And he's not talking about four-letter words here. That is wrong as well. But he's talking about swearing by something else, by heaven or by earth, by the temple, by God's name. But he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. James is speaking about people that take oaths and during his day, and then they would say, to ensure that they would keep that promise, I swear by the authority in the temple or in God himself, or as if they needed to back it up. And I remember as a kid, kids would do that, and I don't know if that's still a trend today, but people would say, you know what, I promise I'll keep that, or I'll keep that promise, cross my heart, hope to die. You know, we'd make these promises, and James says it's all evil. He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And the second point there is that mature Christians keep their word. Mature Christians keep their word. They say yes, they mean it. They don't need to back it up. They don't need to swear by something else. What they say, they will do. If you owe somebody money, you say, hey, I'll get that back to you at a certain point. Get it back at a certain point. Keep your word. You know, but as Christians, we misuse this. How often have we been talking to people after church and somebody expresses a need and we say, you know what, I'll be praying for you this week. Really? Now, if you do and you fulfill that, great. But if you just made it a part of your conversation and have no plans of fulfilling that, you haven't kept your word as a believer in Christ. You get caught up in your week. Yeah, we are all busy. But don't make a promise you can't keep. It would be much better for you to say, why don't we just stop right now and pray? Can I pray with you right now? Let's go before God. That is the right thing to do. Keep your word. Or we say, you know what? We talk and say, man, we have to get together sometime. Let's try to get together here in the next couple weeks. And we never put it on our calendar. We never set a date. And it never happens. It's all part of our talk. If we want to get together, and if we really sincerely mean it, we're not just saying it, then put some legs behind it. Set a time, set a date, and follow through on it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Keep your word. That is a sign, that is a mark of a mature believer in Christ. Number three. James says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Sometimes sickness and disease is a cause of our sin, because of our sin. Not always. Sometimes it's just part of that we live in a fallen world that is under the curse since Adam and Eve sinned. But sometimes it is because of sins that we have been committing. And God's trying to get our attention. Confess your sins and you'll be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like that. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. Bet you the farmers really loved him. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. You know, in difficult circumstances and times, a believer is, again, not to grumble, is not to be anxious. We're not to keep promises we can't keep. Rather, we are, if we are in trouble, if we're in a difficult time, we are to pray. Whether it involves sickness, difficult circumstances, we are to go to God in prayer and believe in Him for the answers. The prayer of a righteous person, they are powerful and they are effective. Now, many of you probably think, you know what, I could never pray like Elijah. Pray and not have it rain for 3.5 years. That's quite a prayer. That's a man of God. And it's kind of like, James, why in the world did you use that illustration? We could never live up to that type of a person to pray in such a way. But James must not have mentioned it if he didn't feel it was possible in our lives. But James understood the power of prayer. Not just of prayer, but of earnest prayer. And I think there's a difference between prayer and earnest prayer. And often we go to God in prayer and we'll say a prayer and we go on our way, but we haven't really earnestly prayed. When I was growing up, they had an expression called praying through. You maybe still hear it from time to time. Praying through. What praying through meant is that a person was going to earnestly pray and come before God, and they were going to pray either, one, they got an answer from God, the prayer was answered, or two, the burden lifted. And there was a peace of God that whatever the matter was, it was in God's hands. God was in control. And the burden is lifted, and instead you have the peace of God. It may be minutes, it may be hours, it may be days. But people prayed through until they heard from God or the burden had lifted. Earnest prayer. And could it be that it's just that we're not maybe going to God in prayer, but we're not really praying through. We don't wrestle with God and earnestly pray until, one, we get the answer, or two, the burden has lifted. And difficult times require earnest prayer that involves probably some sacrifice and some blood, sweat, and tears where we seek the face of God. Desperate times require earnest prayer, praying through until we hear from God. And so the third principle there is mature believers go to God in prayer. They wrestle with God in earnest prayer until the answer comes or they've heard from God. You know what? God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want, does he? Sometimes he does. But sometimes he doesn't. But if we've heard from God and he's placed his peace within us, then it's okay. We know that we've prayed through and God has heard our prayer. If any of you is in trouble, he should pray. The final point that James gives in the last couple verses, he says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from his error of his way, he will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." He will save him from death, not just death of this earth, but eternity in hell. He will save him from eternity in hell and cover over a multitude of sins. The idea here is twofold. It is reaching the unbeliever that does not know God, that is lost in the sense that they don't know how to make peace with God. They may be seeking and maybe they're not. But they're lost. And you point them to Christ. Their sins are forgiven and they find eternal life in the forgiveness of sins. There is nothing more rewarding in this life and pointing somebody to Christ and seeing them embrace Christ. But it could also mean that somebody that was on the path with you following Christ and all of a sudden sin trips them up or difficulty and hardships trip them up and they get lost, they lose their way along the path. And the verses that Paul read earlier from Galatians says to restore people gently and to bring them back to God. And James says the person that does that has a great reward. You cover over a multitude of sins and you snatch their soul from hell. Point, mature believers point the lost towards Christ. You know, James has a lot to speak about maturity. And often it comes through difficulty, suffering, and hardship. You know, and I think about the Thanksgiving story, where Thanksgiving stems from, back to the Pilgrims. And when they settled this land, a lot of them were Puritans, not all of them, but many of them were. They had religious convictions and a belief. But that first year was very brutal. Sickness and disease and hardship, starvation, 2/3-ish would lose their lives. And if it hadn't been for some of the help from the Indians that were able to help them to know how to farm the land in this new land and how to survive the elements, who knows if they would have survived, period. That first Thanksgiving was a thanks to God that he had given them the wisdom and the help that they needed to survive and to live off the land. And they were grateful to God and his blessing. Life is not without suffering and trials. We live in a fallen world, but God has not called us to be anxious, to grumble. And this Thanksgiving, we can, maybe things are all falling into place for you, but maybe there's a little bit harder this Thanksgiving maybe for you. But you know what? You still have a lot to be thankful for. And God has not called us to grumble. He hasn't called us to be anxious. He hasn't called us to complain. But He's called us to wait patiently. To be patient in suffering. To keep our word. To go to God in prayer during difficult times. And to bring others along with us. To point them to Christ. And to see the grace and the forgiveness of God. This morning I'm going to have Victor and Yolanda, if you'd come, and Josh and Karen join me at the front. If you have any need or request, we can agree with you on. We'd love to do that today. If not, just allow the Word of God to take root in your heart today. Make an altar where you're at and let God speak to you by His Holy Spirit. And respond to the Word of God this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of God that is quick, it is powerful, it is sharp. And Father, we pray that it would instruct us and guide us and create maturity within our own lives and make us more like You. We give You all the thanks and all the praise. In Your name we ask. Amen. Musicians, if you would come.